On Sundays, when we baptize, I like to devote the entire service to baptism. And so we're going to do that today, and we're going to look at an aspect of baptism that I am calling the basis of baptism. So if you will find and start looking in your Bible, I want you to turn to the letter called 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to believers in a town called Corinth, and they did have a lot of issues in their little local church. He addresses those, but he also does something in this book, in this chapter 15, that you may not be aware of. So if I were to ask you, where would you find in the Bible the account of resurrection? Okay, most of us would say, well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John all record, you know, the resurrection of Jesus on the first day of the week, and the ladies go to the tomb and all that. But I'm going to argue today and throw this out there. I think I've shared on a Wednesday night as we were going through our study that the resurrection chapter in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 15. So while Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give you the account of Jesus' resurrection, it is chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians that the entire chapter is about resurrection in general. And here's what Paul does. As he is going to address resurrection in chapter 15, he begins with what's called the gospel. And what I want you to take away today, you have heard very clear testimonies today from three young ladies who made it very clear verbally that they had turned to Christ, committed their life to Him, they've gotten saved, and now they are expressing that as a public testimony in the waters of baptism. Now, the basis of that baptism goes back to something called the gospel. And that word simply means good news. We all like good news, right? Christmas time, man, we love good news. Like good Christmas lights and decorations and good Christmas presents and gift cards at Texas Roadhouse. Oh, I'm sorry, didn't mean to throw that out there. We all have places like that where we like the gifts. And that's good news, but the gospel literally means just good news. Now, here's what Paul does. In 1 Corinthians 15, he starts off in just a few verses and explains the gospel in a nutshell. The simplest place in all of your Bible to get the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to share this quickly today because these three ladies and their testimonies, they got baptized because of their faith in Christ and the gospel. So let's jot down really quick as we go through these verses. What is the gospel as a basis of baptism? Look in verse 1. We're going to go through verse 4. And I'm going to point out three simple statements about the gospel. Here he goes. Paul is writing to believers in Corinth, and he says, "Moreover, brethren," in other words, those who were saved there in the church, "I am writing now to declare unto you the gospel," right? The good news. "It is the gospel which I preached to you when I was there," just like a missionary, "and which also you have received and wherein you are standing right now. Now, this gospel, it is by which also this gospel that you are saved." Okay, that's what these ladies testified to this morning. "You are saved if you indeed do keep in memory or hold fast what I preached to you, unless maybe you actually ended up believing in vain." Okay, maybe you're playing church, right? Maybe you didn't really understand internally the significance of the gospel, but unless you were playing church, this is what you believe. And this is how you got saved. And then in verse 3 and 4, he gives you the gospel, the good news. Now look how simple it is. Paul says, "When I was there with you and I preached to you, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received." And here he goes. How that, number one, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Number two, he was buried. And number three, he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's it. Okay, sometimes we make the good news of the gospel hard. And I've seen people before, and I'm not faulting this. If it works for you, that's fine. But I've seen people with like 12 steps to knowing Christ, and you got to memorize this and memorize that. Listen, y'all, if you understand that Jesus died, that he was buried, and he rose again, you've got the gospel. Amen. Okay, that is what Paul says to these believers, and that is what you heard this morning in these testimonies. It serves as a basis of baptism. So let's unpack just a little tiny bit as we go, and we'll be done. Paul starts off verse 1, says, I have declared to you the gospel, the good news. Now, I want you to see for Paul how passionate he was about the good news and what Christ did. I declare to you the gospel, I preach it to you, you receive it, and you're standing in it. And then he says, it is by that gospel you are saved. Now, Paul, in the book of Romans, as he writes to those believers, gives us what we call one of the great verses and statements about the power of the gospel. Here's what Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 16. It's up on the screen. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. This is what Paul is talking about. So in verse 2, in 1 Corinthians 15, it is this gospel which you are saved. It's a power of God for salvation. You are saved if indeed you're holding fast. And he uses a conditional statement implying they are. So it's almost like, since you are holding fast what I preach to you, then you are saved. But now look, the warning in the verse 2. Unless perhaps, though, it was in vain. Perhaps you came to the gospel in a haphazard way. Perhaps you were playing church that Sunday when you walked down the aisle and shook the preacher's hand and recited some words. If you've done it that way, then he says you ain't got the real gospel. You are not saved. But you didn't believe it that way and receive it that way. You were authentic with it. And if you're authentic with it, you are saved. And now it gives those three statements. So look in verse 3. I'm going to deliver to you, I have delivered to you, he says, of first importance. There is nothing else in your Bible more important than these next three statements. It's what I received with the gospel. I didn't make this up. And he says, number one, Christ died for our sins. Okay, that is the cross. Since we're at Christmas time, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is in the Christmas account in Matthew chapter 1. When the angel goes to Joseph, and says to Joseph that Mary is going to have a child, that the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow her, overpower her, bring about conception. She's going to have a son. That angel says to Joseph these words you see up on the screen in verse 21. She is going to bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because it is he who will save his people. And notice what he's saving them from, saving them from their sins. That is a reason for Christmas. That is a gospel. Now, if we go back to verse 3, as Paul starts talking about the gospel, he says Christ has died for our sins. And notice a preposition, the word for. He died in our place, substitutionary. And when he did so, he satisfied the wrath of God towards sinners. He died for our sins. And over in the New Testament, you will find verse after verse which makes it very clear that when Jesus died, he died for sin. He shed blood for sin. It's by his blood that we have remission of sin, forgiveness of sin. So over and over in the Bible, of first importance, chief, he says, is that Christ died for our sins. The cross is the heart of the gospel. If you take the cross out, if you take the death of Christ out, you do not have the gospel, you do not have good news, and you do not have Christianity. It's of first importance. So I delivered to you first, Christ died for our sins, and he says, this is also according to the Scriptures. The Old Testament talked about this over and over, about a Messiah coming, being like a lamb led to the slaughter. So the Bible is foretold that this Messiah would come. He came and died for our sins. Let me step aside just a minute and we'll finish up with the last two points. If I'm reading this verse right, what that means is our sins became an obstacle to God's gift of salvation. Right? An obstacle. There's no way to get past this obstacle or around this obstacle if Jesus did not die for our sins. Let me ask you to think about this. Have you experienced obstacles in life? Oh yeah. In fact, I guarantee you, we could stay here until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and probably every single one of you could share an obstacle you're experiencing right now. It may be an obstacle in your marriage. It may be an obstacle at work. It may be an obstacle financially. It may be an obstacle with a son or daughter who is wayward or causing you grief. There's all kinds of obstacles in life, and they are not fun. They're very difficult. I think in Miranda's testimony, she even said, life is hard, right? It can be hard. There are obstacles in life. Now, let me share a little obstacle. And this is not significant, but it kind of makes a point. So back over Thanksgiving, we were in Christiansburg at my wife's parents, and we had the turkey and all that good stuff, and it was yummy, yummy. In fact, yummy, 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 right? That's a superlative. Three times a yummy, that's what it was. And so we had that, you know, on Friday after your Thanksgiving. Okay, now y'all know this. I ain't no shopping person, right? I don't care that it's Black Friday. I don't care. But they opened down there in Christiansburg, just like they opened up here recently, one of those, is it Sports Academy or Academy Sports? Somebody help me. I don't know which way it is. Sports Academy, does that sound right? Oh, let's go with that for now. It might be wrong. Is that right, Candace? No, it's Academy Sports. Okay. They opened one in Christiansburg. And if you think I'm not a shopper, you should see my father-in-law. He really is a shopper. But you know what happened? Y'all would have gone crazy. Me and father-in-law, we went shopping. I know. The greatest comedy act in the history of mankind since the Garden of Eden. I know that. We went to the Sports Academy or Academy Sports, whatever it's called. Now, the reason I'm sharing this is, her father has an obsession with shoes and boots, Israeli boots, German boots. I mean, I'm like, when God calls him to glory, I'm just saying, it's a lot of shoes, y'all, but four shoes around the fire. I'm like, it's a lot of shoes. And so we go into the Academy Sports or Sports Academy, and we go straight to the shoe section. And sure enough, he goes out there and buys another brand new pair of Skechers sneakers. He's already got three by the fireplace, but that's okay. We got to get some more just in case. But here's a problem, y'all. Have you ever heard of peer pressure? And so here I am. And I'm walking around there. And I said, now, Lord, I'm really talking to God in a sports store. But I said, I'm thinking, you know, I do have the shoes I got. Y'all notice they quit making tennis shoes out of leather or fake leather? It's all that soft canvas stuff. And man, when they get wet, it's over, right? Socks, everything is wet. And so I watch him looking at the shoes, and I thought, you know what? Whatever Black Friday means, it's got a pretty good deal on them Skechers shoes, and they're a lot more durable than what I've got, the little flimsy things. So I said, I'm going to start looking up. So I picked up a pair, about 40 or so percent off, and I go and I took off my light shoes, and I put my foot in that shoe, and it went in. It wouldn't go no further. Now here's a problem. I know what shoe size I wear, and I can tell by the size of that shoe that this should not have been an issue. And so you're trying to stick it in there. You're just like, what in the world is going on? Either my foot has grown 3 inches since this morning, or the shoe has shrunk 3 inches since the last time I bought shoes. And then I realized there was an obstacle. Sometimes the obstacle is balled up paper, right, to kind of keep the shape of the shoe. In this case, the obstacle was more of a cardboard mold that fit inside the shoe. And when I realized that the drill bits of my toenails weren't going to cut through that cardboard, then I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to retrieve the cardboard. You know what? When I removed the obstacle, then my foot went in, and it fit pretty good. It was an obstacle, right? We all have obstacles. That's a stupid obstacle. But listen, y'all, there are obstacles. So here's the deal with the gospel. There indeed is an obstacle that every single person has to deal with in life. You heard about it, the testimonies. In fact, I think it was Evelyn's testimony that flat out said, before I got saved, I was a sinner. Sin is the obstacle, right? You can't remove that obstacle. So the Bible says Jesus died on the cross so He could remove that obstacle. And now salvation fits. This is what Paul is talking about. He says, listen, y'all, when it comes to the gospel, number one, very simple, Christ died for our sins and removed the obstacle. Now let me give you the other two, like really, really quick. Second thing he says in verse 4, it is so short and simple. He says, number two, and He was buried. Right? They took straps or strips of linen cloth and they kind of cover those linen cloths with spices and myrrh and aloes, and they're trying to assist with the odor of the body as it starts to decay upon death, and they wrap Him in those cloths. And then we read that they didn't have a cemetery like we have a cemetery today and digging holes, but they used caves. And so there's a guy a Jewish man, a wealthy man. His name is Joseph. He's from a place called Arimathea. Let's just say Stafford County, make it easy. So Joseph's from Stafford County, and Joseph hears about the Messiah, and he's following the Messiah and Jesus. And so he goes to the governor, and he says, "Can I have the body so I can bury it?" And the governor, Pontius Pilate, gives him permission. And so then Joseph takes the body, wraps the body in the strips of cloth, and puts the body into his own tomb. He gave Jesus his cemetery plot. But Jesus didn't need it for long. It was a borrowed tomb, right? So number two of the gospel, he died for us according to the scriptures. And then he says number two, and don't forget, he was buried. Now, why does he emphasize that? Because you need to know for sure that he had died. You don't bury people if they ain't died, right? In baptism, like you saw this morning, baptism is a picture, and I think I told him before we baptized, baptism is a picture that the old person you were has died. And what do you do with dead people and dead things? You bury them. So in baptism, you're reading in these testimonies that each of these is saying, "I got saved, and the old person was died, and because I died, we bury the old person. And now as a brand new person, I'm raised up, I'm living for Christ now. My life is different. My outlook is different. Now everything is different when I become a new creation in Christ." So we don't overlook the fact that he was buried. And the third aspect of the gospel is so simple for the basis of baptism. He then says he was buried, and with the gospel, he rose again the third day. Okay, now we've gone now kind of from like Christmas time, we've gone to Good Friday, and now we've moved over into Easter and Resurrection Day. This is the gospel. Now, Paul says and reminds us, it was part of 3 days. On the third day, that's when they went to the tomb and they discovered his body wasn't there. So what I share each year, I think, at Easter and in Resurrection, is at the cross is where we find victory won. But at the empty tomb is where we find victory declared. Listen, if Jesus had died, didn't come back to life, he's just another founder of another useless religion. But if he died and came back to life, you're dealing with something different. You're dealing with something unique. There is no religion in the world that's got a founder who died and came back to life and is still living. That changes everything. So Paul says, "I gave you the gospel." It's very simple and very short. He says, he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And he did it all according to what the Bible teaches. So where does that leave us today? Well, let me wrap this up because it's time to go today. So here's something I want you to kind of think about and take away from this short little presentation of what Paul describes as a gospel. Sometimes we get the wrong idea of why Jesus died. Sometimes we think he died just to give us an example of commitment and devotion. That's not why he died. Sometimes we think that indeed maybe he just died as a martyr because he believed in God the Father, and people didn't like that, and so he just died for his faith. That's not true, y'all. Bible makes it very clear, and I've got it up on the screen. He wasn't a martyr dying for his faith. He was a Savior dying for our sins. That's what it all comes down to. And that's why today I've been so excited for Miranda and family to drive down a couple hours to be here today. So excited for Evelyn today to share. It was back in last January in our YEC where I really got saved there, and I'm expressing that publicly. So excited today for Abigail to say, "Listen, I grew up in the church. I can't really remember a time I haven't been like Christian per se, but at home I realized I was lost and Jesus died for my sins and he was raised from the grave. And the Bible says, if you believe that, you shall be saved." This is the basis of baptism. And so we're so excited today to see these baptized, hear their testimony. But understand, and this is just a good reminder for all of us today, the gospel is fairly simple, y'all. Did you know that if you travel to Africa, if you travel to New York City, you can travel to Australia, you can travel to Denmark, or you can travel to a virtual world, the gospel message is the same. He died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised the third day. That's what you heard in these testimonies this morning with the baptism. And the Bible makes it so clear there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So let's close today. Let's pray as we close. We're going to recognize these who are baptized before we go. But let's close in prayer. And as we bow together this morning, I have raced this as quickly as I can, trying to get it all in there. But man, it's so simple. And so we thank God today for the simplicity of the good news that Jesus came. He died on the cross. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. And so as we bow together and pray, I want to ask you that question. You've heard these testimonies today, and it may be that you're here today without Christ. You could share the same kind of testimony as Evelyn said. Before I was saved, I was a sinner, lost and confused. And then I heard the gospel and it made sense and I responded and I turned to Christ and was saved. And so maybe that you're here today without Christ, and here at Christmas time of 2023, God in His sovereignty sent you to this church in King George, and you're here for an exciting day. And it may be that today is a day that God has called you to Himself and opened your eyes and kind of scared you a bit when it comes to heaven and hell and eternity. And so whether you're here today in person or listening online later, I've shared the simple gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and He was raised on the third day. And so it may be as we are closing the day that you thinking to yourself, you know what, I need to make that decision like Miranda did, like Evelyn did, like Abigail did. And this is your opportunity. There where you're seated, the quietness of your heart, you can simply utter a prayer and say, Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I know I'm a sinner. And I believe you died on the cross for my sin. You were buried in that tomb. And on that third day, you rose again. And I'm turning my life over to you, asking for forgiveness of my sin and committing myself to serve you and to love you and to make you known. That may be the decision for you today. And it also may be that there's a burden or concern on your heart that has nothing to do with baptism, has nothing to do with the gospel per se, but you just need some quiet time before we go back out into this world to lift it up in prayer before God. So you do that for just a moment. I'm going to close us, and then we'll close our entire service. So, Lord, we give you thanks today for the simplicity of the gospel. And thank you for the testimony of these three ladies, very clearly stating that they've been saved. They simply believe in their heart that Jesus died on the cross and that he was raised from the dead. And they have confessed it with their mouth. And so we pray today for your blessings upon each of them as they leave and move forward from this point, that they would make a difference for you in this world. Protect them from Satan, because right now Satan is not very happy with them. God, would you protect them and use them, grow them, put them in strong, solid churches where they can serve you. And for any today who may have uttered a prayer of repentance and salvation, thank you for that response and for the opportunity we've had to consider the good news. As we get ready to go in just a moment, we ask your blessings upon each one, each family, and each home. Help us to serve you well and honor you. And we close by lifting up our prayer in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.